I'm so excited that we have Innovate Digital Solutions as a sponsor of HeCast this season. Innovate Digital Solutions provides anything that an office might need, hardware, software, IT, copy machines, things like that. They make an office run more smooth, and they're really good at it. But one of the things that I love about Innovate, their founders, Andre and Katia Brasso, they're people that don't just believe it's important to build a strong business, but also to take that success and build the strong community around them. They really have a heart for what HeChanged is doing. People they love have gone through some of the stuff that we talk about on this show. Andre and Katia both believe that you can build a life worth living, and there are these evidence-based solutions that can help build that life. We're so excited to be in partnership with Innovate Digital Solutions, and HeChanged It is better for it, and we hope you will be too. Go to innovate.ca and check them out. Welcome to HeCast, the official podcast of HeChanged It. As always, I am Mike Chisholm. As always, I am excited to have a conversation that centers around mental wellness, men's mental wellness specifically, but just, man, and today's a good episode for that. It gets really kind of high vibration, high level, a little bit of woo-woo, but the woo-woo is based on amazing experience, and I'm just really, really grateful that we had Eric McHugh on here. Eric McHugh he's done a lot for a younger guy. He has done a lot when it comes to life experience. Built a couple of businesses and helped in the tech world, and has gotten to the place where he is building a couple more. And we start the podcast talking a little bit about this meditation retreat that he just came back from, a 10-day retreat where he was silent and what he learned through that. Startup life, they talk about incubation of business. Startup life can really incubate a business very quickly. And in that, you can have your character incubated as well. This is a guy who clearly has worked on himself from early on, and is continuing to do so every day. We go into all sorts of things. We go into gratitude. We go into the vibration that we're at. We go into, obviously meditation, things like that, but then also some business stuff, some life stuff, things that should be autopilot for people and how we treat each other, but aren't in this day and age, in this polarized world. Eric is a breath of fresh air. I just really appreciate. You'll see very, very quickly how quickly he and I connect. And it's a really excellent episode. One of the companies that he is working on is a dating app that uses AI. Dataing, Dataing, very, very cool. We talk about that because obviously they want to. Connection is a huge thing. And if we can take, he talks about how AI, it's neither good nor bad. It's how you use it, right? If we can take some of these tools, these amazing tools that are out there, and use it for good, use it that we can connect to augment our life in a good way. And that's what they're trying to do right now. So thank you so much for joining us on this journey. That is HeChanged It. Again, go to HeChangeIt.com, download the app, check out what we're doing here. But in the meantime, please enjoy our episode with Eric McHugh. Eric, I am so excited to have you on HeCast today for a variety of reasons. Obviously the idea that you've been in the tech field. I want to talk to you about some of the things that you've built over time in your time in the tech field, but you've been on a spiritual journey that so many guys yearn to go on that, but they don't even know they're yearning to go on it. There's so many guys that have so many deep-seated things that just don't ever come up to the surface. You've been exploring some of these things here. I'm curious about the genesis of that. You're also in the NFT field. I don't know very much about NFTs. I want to know if they're still around and if it's still a thing or not, that kind of a thing. Lots of things to talk about. Eric, welcome to HeCast.
Hi, Mike. Thank you so much for having me. I'm really grateful to be here.
Yeah, I'm really grateful to have you. Let's talk about your background a little bit, and I do want to get to what has led to the spiritual journey, and then talk a little bit about the work you've been doing that way, and then maybe we can get into some of the other stuff as well.
Sure. And to ask that question shortly, everything is honestly just related. So it's one big journey that kind of wraps into each other, like when the student is ready, the teacher appears type of thing. So it's been a journey from day one, but it's recently accelerated. But we'll get into that. So it's nice to meet everyone. My name is Eric. I'm 30 years old. I'm blessed to be living in beautiful Southern California. Mm-hmm. My main hobbies right now are chess, Muay Thai, reading, pretty much anything under the sun. I try to get as much sun as possible. I make a point to do that. And meditation. Mm-hmm. I just got back from a Vinpasa meditation retreat in Joshua Tree, California, which has been an accelerator for my spiritual journey. And I recommend everyone do it. It's probably been single-handedly one of the most life-changing, transformative experiences for me. So it's worth checking out, and I'm sure we can talk about that.
Well, hold on, Joshua Tree. Now, for this particular journey that you're on, how important was location?
Joshua Tree just happened to be it was more so the environment versus location.
Okay.
So the method for meditation is the Vinpasa method. So it's 10 full days of meditation in noble silence. So there's no talking with anyone, no writing, no phone, no nothing, just straight meditation practices. And it's the method that the Buddha used to reach enlightenment. So the method, it is cool. And you hit out early in the podcast. So what you do for the first 3 days, you just focus on the area around your nostril and like this little triangle around your mouth. You start to pick up different sensations. And then once you can do that, you scan your body back and forth every inch over and over again. And what this does is it extracts the traumas that you store through your life in different parts of your body, and it comes out in the form of different sensations. So if you think of yourself like let's imagine you're a NASA scientist, you have to send a piece of metal into space.
Yep.
The way you would purify it is you'd run it through strong magnets. Those magnets would extract the impurities of the metal, and it would leave you with a pure metal. So you're doing this on a spiritual level. So it helps so many people work through so many things. And the way you close the meditation is beautiful too. So at the very last 5 minutes, so like, again, it's full, like the end of your meditation, you store all your energy in the forehead of your head, and you just wish everyone in the world peace, love, and happiness. And because I think the outer world is a reflection of your inner world, this has a tangible benefit for you. Because if you walk around wishing everyone peace, love, and happiness, like it's like, I want you to do well, I want you to do well, go Gresha, go get this lift, go read that book, Random Stranger. They can pick up on that on a subconscious level, and then they direct positivity back towards you. So it's a win-win. Like, there's no point not to do it.
The net benefit of being generous to somebody is how good you feel about it. You help somebody else out, and you get that back. It sounds like this is just that on a different amplification or vibration.
Yeah, no, and you hit the nail on the head. The key word is vibration. So I think of everything in terms of energy and frequency and vibration. So my overall goal is, so I think everyone has the same inner purpose, and the inner purpose of everyone is to raise their own level of vibration or own level of consciousness. If I'm successfully able to raise my own level of consciousness, it raises those around me, and then they raise those around them, and it creates a nice positive spiral. So I would say that's what everyone's inner purpose is. And the outer purpose is how, so I think God, the creator, whoever you wanted to call it, mm-hmm. This happened to your wife too, I think, where it's like he blessed everyone with natural talents. And yeah. I think everyone is most happy when they're serving other people. Yeah. So how do you best serve the collective? You take advantage of your own natural talents and manifest what God has given you into gifts that serve the world, which I'm doing with my two companies. And it sounds like you're doing with your men's mental health app, which honestly couldn't come at a more perfect time, because it sounded like she got like an epiphany or spiritual download or whatever it was. She's like, yep, this is what I'm doing, and I'm sure you guys are crushing it. And it'll work because of the intention behind your app. You're out to help people. People can pick up on that. So I have full faith that you guys will crush it.
Well, you know, and it's funny because I have – you know, when the universe or whatever you want to call it, everything, you know, the factors around you – you see doors opening and it just, things just start to work out. Yeah. You know, you get these signs sometimes though, like again, we're, you know, bootstrap this. It's crazy having this startup out of house. I'm a financial planner by trade, not doing what I'm supposed to be doing. I know that love and connection is the way that I serve. Actually this here, HeCast, like, you know, I say to my wife, you're building a men's mental wellness app. How can I help? Would hosting a podcast help? Yes, absolutely. We don't have any money for marketing. So yeah, let's create some content and do it. You know, that's a couple of years ago. And then suddenly I realized, oh man, I'm in the flow. I feel like I am doing what I'm meant to be doing. There is nothing better than that. And I think it is an old Chinese proverb where it says, if you can monetize your passion, you don't work a day in your life. There are so many men out there that are just
living lives that they were told to live, that society told them to live, whatever. Mm-hmm. They've never done any of this introspective work. I know you've grinded it out a couple of times, at least the way that we are right now. Did you have this introspective spirit when you first started your first company? Have you always been this guy, or is this something that you have learned along the way?
It's been an evolution. So when I first started, so I ended up quitting my 9-to-5 job because it didn't align with the ethos. So at, like going back, my first job was at Snap helping craft their ad algorithm. I joined that because the main reason I joined is A, the location was cool. So it was a bunch of, it was in Venice Beach. They bought a bunch of different houses. So you jump around different houses. I'm like, oh, that's cool. And the second reason was right before their IPO. So I wanted to be around a company just to see what that was like going through their IPO. And then from there, I worked at as a bankruptcy consultant, helping companies navigate the Fortune 500 process. But at that time, I was researching cryptocurrency and Bitcoin heavily. So that's what kind of what kicked me down the path. And the ethos of the consulting firm didn't align with Bitcoin. So the main issue wasn't so much the firm, it was a systematic issue. Whereas when a company goes through bankruptcy, there's tiers of creditors, tier one, tier two, tier three, and tier four. Tier one gets paid first, tier four gets paid last. Obviously, me, you, and the normal mom and pops were all tier four. So our firm was billing out a client that was taking money from the tier four, which didn't exactly align with that. So I was into Bitcoin. Bitcoin is what got me to read excessively and just to like take ownership and responsibility of my life. So I quit my job without a plan of that, just because I feel like I should do this. And then I was going to cryptocurrency meetups in the local areas because I'm like, oh, I have to work in Web3. Because my overall goal is to live a nice, peaceful life. I felt that was more difficult. The money system was corrupt. I found Bitcoin to be a solution of that. So I'm like, okay, I have to work in this space. I met the original ShopX team, and this is where the universe just blessed me with like an opportunity. So we had met the original ShopX team. We started a side startup too called Polly or CartRev. Okay. So what that was is it replaced affiliate codes for e-commerce brands. The main benefits for that was it was VC funded, and we worked out of an incubator. So an incubator is essentially startup school. We were probably one of the top ones in the nation. So we had our desk, the desk comp next to us, like early stage startups. So our neighbors were actually Liquid Death. Yep. So at a young age, I was fortunate to be placed in an environment with tons of CEOs and tons of founders. And obviously I interviewed pretty much everyone I could. Like I was getting lunch, I was working on their projects. I was like, what works for you? What doesn't work for you? And obviously they're like, oh, I have no problem with telling you. So I learned a lot from there.
Yeah.
And then I noticed a trend too, because I didn't catch it back then, but like some of the most successful people are like, do you want to grab lunch? No, I'm going on a walk for an hour and a half. Like, oh, you have time to go on a walk for an hour and a half midday? It's like, well, that's part of my day. It's how I de-stress. Oh, what do you do? Oh, I meditate. Oh, I read these books. And I noticed that at the time, I didn't realize it, but they were spiritual people. But at the first, I'm just ignoring them because I'm in grind mode. It's like, you know, like grind mode where it's like 6 a.m. to 12 hours. I'm just like, you've earned that right, but I can't do that now. But looking back on it, that was something that most, and now it's also could be a frequency thing where I'm in this type of vibe where I'm dealing with spiritual, mentally healthy people. So a lot of the people I talk to are upbeat and positive and respectful, but like a lot of the most successful people I've spoken to, they do have a spiritual practice. It's baked into the products they make, and this is why they succeed. So yeah. And then that led to the two companies I'm working on now, which are ShopX Web3 e-commerce and Data Ing, the first ever AI-powered matchmaking service.
Yeah, I'm super curious about that. I gotta ask about that because the idea of a dating app using AI is it seems so obvious and fascinating when reading and learning about what AI is doing now. How far along is that company, and what are some of the like just from outside the just with the description you think about dating and AI and how it seems like you get the right profile or the right whatever it is. I want to know about it, but the right set of circumstances where you are represented very, very, very well, and so is everybody else. It seems like it could be a no-brainer. How is research on that going? And please tell us about that.
Oh yeah, it's going great. So the overall mission, because I think the intent of any company is very important. So our intent is to spread as much love as possible and match a billion happy couples by what we do is we auto generate profiles for you based on your digital footprint. And then we create matches based on users' digital footprint to put users in the position to succeed. So I know you're married, but if you look at the dating market right now, it's kind of a mess for most people and not many people are happy. Yep. And the three main reasons are because of dating apps and Instagram and online dating, which I think is the future anyways, because more people are going online. But the biggest issues right now are in the dating app market. Let's use Tinder, for example, but you can extrapolate this to all other apps.
Sure.
The top 5% of users, they get access to everyone on the app, creating a skewed marketplace. So the second reason is, let's be real, it's like physical based, hot or not, there's no real authentic connection. And the third reason is the incentive structure behind the dating apps. So if you think about it logically, if Tinder were to match a happy couple, that happy couple then leaves the app, Tinder then loses a paying customer, their shareholders aren't happy. So what they rely on is churn marketing, which is essentially keeping people on like a Ferris wheel. So it's like, why, why do people download the app, delete the app, download the app, delete the app? It's because it's baked in their incentives. So what Dating does, by the way, most dating apps are owned by Match.com. So it's like, it's somewhat of a little known monopoly where it's like very unlikely to change if one player owns pretty much everything.
Yeah.
But what Dating does is, since we auto-generate profiles for users based on their digital footprint, we put our users in the position to succeed. So for example, I could give my three matches, Ashley, Kimberly, Jane. It's like, okay, Jane seems cool. Tell me more about Jane. Okay, she linked her Facebook, so we know she's the youngest and you're the oldest. Our pattern recognition software says that usually works well. Okay, she linked her LinkedIn. You both went to a four-year university. You both studied psychology. Amazing. Oh, she linked her YouTube. You both follow the same YouTube artist. Fantastic. Mm-hmm. Oh, you both linked your Instagram and you both tag each other. You both go to national parks. That's something in common. Mm-hmm. Oh, you both linked your Spotify accounts. Great. Did you know that you both follow this one artist who has a concert coming up in a month? Mm-hmm. Would you like me to suggest a date with Jane? I suggest a date with Jane. She gets a notification from Eric. She sees my profile. So she sees like my profile is going to consist of, we have data cards too. Like, so she'll get a summary of me based on my digital footprint. She'll also see my recent post from my social media account. So she has a better view of who I am for her comfort. She also sees, oh, okay, we have a bunch of mutual friends, because honestly, I think women's safety is also important for dating apps, because like, like you never know who you're meeting. So that adds that extra layer of security. Mm-hmm. We then meet, let's say we go to that concert, we fall in love. Fantastic. Then Cupid can transfer over and then function as a dating app butler. So it's like, okay, let's say we have two kids. It's like, hey guys, you guys haven't been out on a date in 3 months. We suggest this babysitter service. The place you went on your second date is having a half off sale on ice cream. Go there. And then it could help me to be like, hey, by the way, Jane's birthday is coming up. You don't want to miss this, dude. She just added this thing to her Pinterest board. Here's the Amazon link. Here's a slam dunk. So that would help there. And then on the flip side, it can, like in the dating process, it can also, because what AI really is good at scale is really just pattern recognition at scale.
Yeah.
So like as a dater, it can help you move along the process. It's like, okay, you went on three dates using our platform. They all end at the second date. What are you doing wrong? Okay, you're going to this place. Our data suggests this place is a better place for the data, and it could help coach users along. Mm-hmm. So long term, I think the dating app market is just really easy to penetrate because there's a real need. Everyone I talk to is like, oh, this app is so cool. But long term, it can also be a community building app, which goes into men's health. I'm thinking about specifically men's health, because I think relationships and community is something that's very important for overall human happiness. And I think with social media, people are more and more distant and just closed off. So hypothetically, I could be like, okay, Cupid, I don't need a date, but can you find me five guys who are into Muay Thai, who go to meditation within 30 miles, who would like to grab tacos? And then they could suggest a male date. We're just like, let's hang out, let's kick it, because we have stuff in common. So it can help build community, which again, I think is a noble cause.
Community is a silver bullet. There's no question about that. There's so many guys who are, the pain points that Candy and her team have gone in and that are going to be put in or are already in its infancy put into He Changed It. One of the main pain points is loneliness. And I mean, sometimes you can be a room full of people around you, but still be the loneliest person in the room. And part of that is getting through the stigma and the getting to a place of vulnerability to kind of the introspective work to deal with that. So you aren't lonely within your family, you know, or within your workplace or your friend group even, like, and part of that. So what you're talking about here is very, very cool. How far along are you in the process? And can I ask a couple questions about, can I throw a couple little FAQs at it?
You can ask whatever questions you like. I'm the type of person, if I don't know the answer, I'm happy to say I don't know. There's no harm in that. So in terms of where we're at, we just launched our wait list a couple of weeks ago, or last month on February 14th. For obvious reasons, it's February 14th. So what's happening right now is we needed some live data of actual users to get that AI training and up and running. So it's training in the background. We're gearing up with our fundraising rounds and whatnot and all that stuff for our official app launch. So as soon as that comes, we'll start pushing it there. So waitlist is probably around 300, but it's like a soft launch where like the app, it's not even like on the website. You just have to get a specific link because we want to iron out the bugs with like a smaller base where it's like people are giving suggestions. We use that as QA and then we make the app stronger before we let in all the masses.
It's exactly what they're doing. Like eChange, it's available for everybody right now, but there's no marketing, no anything. Yeah. It's just a matter of there was a previous iteration of the app. Now there's the current iteration of the app
there'll be many more iterations.
Exactly. This is so I got to ask a question about this. So the digital footprint, the one thing that we keep being told is one of the things that contributes many times. You talk about social media and the double-edged sword that it can be, how people on their social media will represent certain things. Like for me personally, I'm an old man. I use Facebook. I use Facebook a lot, but I know what I use my Facebook for. I know I trim my Facebook feed like a bonsai tree. Like I everything's positive. I don't want any of the polarized stuff on there whatsoever. I unfollow any of that stuff. I know that I want it to be because I use mine as a digital scrapbook. I use it as a record. Like when I go back to 07 or whatever it was, it's just basically my life and what I've been doing and all that stuff. It's mostly the good stuff. It's mostly just the, you know, like people talk about on their social media, how it's just the shiny things. And one of the problems with social media is people will go on it and they'll scroll it and see the good life that everybody else is living while, you know, they don't necessarily put up the non-shiny stuff. Is that something that Data Ing has taken into a consideration when it comes to building profiles?
Yeah, so and you hit a good point too. Like, I think the biggest issue with social media now is the comparison factor. Yes. And the thing with comparison is a thief of joy. It's like, how can you the secret for happiness is like you have everything you need, but it's hard to think that way if you're first off programmed from a young age to think about that way. And you go on Instagram, like I'm in LA, but imagine you're like in the suburbs. You see just this kid your age has like a mansion. You're just like, well, I need to be there, and that's never happened in the past, and that's been just drummed into the society as a whole. So I think social media is a double-edged sword for that. But no, you're absolutely right. In terms of, let's say Instagram. No one, Instagram is everyone's highlight reel. You can't get an authentic image from someone's Instagram. So the answer to that, our answer to that is we do think it's going online in the future. So because we connect more social media accounts, it creates a more holistic picture. So yes, someone could like BS on Instagram or Facebook, but if you're connecting your Pinterest or connecting your YouTube, or connecting your LinkedIn, it creates a whole more holistic profile for you based on that.
Yep.
And then the AI is getting smart in the sense it can pick up on the photo and data too. So like on your Instagram photo, like you could tag your family, you could tag, like it can pick up where you're at in national parks. So it can pick up facial structures. It can pick up everything based on
the little things.
Yeah. The little things that you'll all miss.
Yeah.
And the cool thing is, once you're on the app, and again, this is comparing to Tinder too. So like on Tinder, like it's a lot of, you can also create a fake profile. You just pick 6 pictures, line a bio is done. So it's harder to do that if you're adding more, I guess, social media links.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Are you a movie guy at all? Do you watch movies at all?
I used to be a movie guy much more, but, depends which one you're talking about.
Me too. And I think I'm quite a bit older than you. But back in the day, there's an old David Fincher movie with Michael Douglas called The Game, and it's a fantastic movie where the premise of the movie is Michael Douglas gets this gift purchased for him, and it's a real life game, and so he goes into this psychological profile. And he literally, I think it's a day long process or whatever. He's filling out forms. He's doing these tests. He's going through all of these things, has to answer all of these questions, honestly. And he does it for an entire day. And then the result after that is, I think it's, I don't know, in the movie, it's probably 3 days of this adventure he goes on. And it's a real life adventure that happens with stimulus and people, his life is in danger. He gets, you know, it's this crazy kind of epic thing that happens to him. And by the end of the movie, you realize it's a, you know, this was a gift that he was given, but he didn't realize that that's what it was. Life. And I think that there's a lot of people who think about that, the idea that they could spend some time, invest some time putting themselves into something and the result being, you know, these new tools that are coming into effect, AI, of course, being the buzzword one, the one that everyone is talking about right now, could then come in and somehow fill in the gaps that we just aren't able to think about and enhance our life. And it's very cool that you are doing this on the relationship side of things, because at the end of the day, I think relationships are probably one of the number one things that we in the human experience are looking for. And while we do learn when we get into one that, you know, doesn't work out, we learn things, hopefully, if we've got our eyes open, we learn things. And we realize that we're learning things and we don't just continually repeat the same mistake.
Because you'll repeat the mistake until you learn your lesson.
Right? Yeah. And I mean, and how many times?
As many times as it takes, the universe is like, you will learn this lesson. It can be once, it can be 100. It's totally up to you.
Right. So to me, when you say this here, it brings up the idea that this might be something that can help break people out of patterns and things like that.
Oh yeah, no, 100%. I mean, I think patterns are a powerful thing. And that was honestly something that was the meditation retreat really helped me break out of just going, being quiet for so long. You just realize that a lot of the patterns you had are linked to just past experiences. And you form those at a young age, you keep doing them for your whole life. And so it helps you let go of the patterns and thought pattern, especially thought patterns too. Like, because the most powerful thing is a repetitive thought. It can be a good thing, it can be a bad thing. So it helped me switch my mind to pretty much all my repetitive thoughts are good, positive, just things. So that was a game changer on that. But no, yeah, like you said, AI, I think it's just a tool people can leverage. So people are going to use it. AI is inherently neutral to me as a technology. So people are going to use it in positive ways. People are going to use it in negative ways. I think dating and spreading love is a positive way to use AI. So if we're trying to spread as much positivity in the world, we can. So this could help you break the patterns in the sense like you're just running through the motions. It's like, okay, dude, you've been on 7 dates. Why is this not working? Try something new. And on top of that, the cool thing about dating is it's opposite of Tinder in the sense the longer you're on Tinder, the more likely you're going to stay on Tinder in that churn marketing cycle. Yep. The longer you're on dating, the more likely you are to find a match, because it gets smarter. So everyone's into different things. Like it's gonna be like Eric, they're the same as you, Like no. Then it might try something different. It's like, okay, he's saying no to this. Let's try something that's opposite. I say yes to that. Then the pattern recognition software gets better and it feeds me better matches. Because in the end, our goal is to get people. I think people can only really connect. Like even Zoom is okay because it's face to face. But like, if you really want to find love or relationship, you can't stay online forever. You have to meet in person. So our goal is to get that date happening as soon as possible for the users when they feel comfortable.
Well, the pheromones. I mean, I'm trying to remember if it was Chris Ryan's book. I think it might have been Sex at Dawn. I'm not one of those books. I forget which one it is, where it talks about the T-shirts. It talks about men who sweat in a T-shirt and then women who, you know, they smell the T-shirts. And there are certain ones that that they just are attracted to. They just are. And it's a biological part, too. So adding that component as quickly as you can, getting everything on paper to make sure that the other side of it, that biological, I say intangible, it's probably because I'm not intelligent enough to to know it probably is tangible, but you got to get that factor in
the pheromones. First of all, pheromones are great. I think, and for me personally, pheromones are my favorite because I have a really good health stack that just really works well in my body for men's health. So like me physically, I just function at a really good level because I'm conscious about what goes in my body. Me personally, I take Shilajit, Tongarali, CMOS, peptides, and magnesium. That's just the health sec that works for me, and I'm always open to suggestions. So if you have anything that helps. But no, yeah, the pheromones are important because, like, it's pheromones and energy, too, like energy and vibe. So, like, pheromones help, but like you can pretty much tell and girls, women are really good at, I think women are better than this than men, just like pick up on someone's like intention, their vibe is like, yeah, the ick, or oh, I like this guy. So like girls, animals, children, they're good at picking up stuff like that. So you have to do, you have to get in real life. And the thing is, the quicker you get in real life too, like a lot of people just waste their time on dating apps. First off, you're a dude, you're most likely talking to a bot. There's tons of bots. But the, like if you're talking to, if you're, I guess, dating, like if you're dating with an intent to find like a marriage or relationship, the more time you're talking to someone who's not compatible with you, that's more of an opportunity cost for the right person. So it's better to figure that out quickly and just wish them the best, like wish everyone the best. But then it's like, I have to go find my twin flame. I have to go find my person. And dating to me, it's honestly, dude, it's just one way to do it. Like me personally, I've always had better luck with the cold approach. So whether it be through dating, whether it be through cold approach, like it's just another method to find that. Hopefully, I think it's a more effective method than we currently got, but only time will tell.
Well, I appreciate the fact that you're doing this. You're trying to make the world a better place by doing this. It's super, super cool that you're coming from this place and this time doing this. I want to go back to the meditation part for a second here. So you go on this tremendous retreat. I'm certain that, you know, the way we started this conversation, when you describe what you have just come back from, there's a lot of guys who would hear this and go, holy smokes, I don't know if I could do that. When was the first time that you actually meditated? Because, I mean, you know, I'm a huge Joe Dispenza fan. I'm a big believer that there is no such thing as a bad meditation. But there's a lot of people who come in with loaded preconceptions about it. You know, they say try it. They realize they get distracted. And they realize, oh, they think I'm not doing it right, and they go from there. Obviously, you know, if you've done it a little bit, you understand that's exactly it.
The point.
You're there. You're overthinking yeah, it right now. When did you first start meditation, and how important is it to you?
First off, I also love Joe Dispenza. Joe is fantastic. He's entertaining. He does a whole quantum spirituality thing. He's a fantastic person just to binge on your content if it so suits you. Yep. I would say like probably like 3-4 years ago, but it wasn't serious at all. It was like, okay, let me try meditating. I sit for a while. And then I started off using binaural beats as an aid, where essentially what binaural beats are is like you have one frequency in one ear, one frequency in the other ear, and it forces your brain to balance at a positive one. So that helped me do it. So I would do that in college when I studied. So I guess I was somewhat of a meditative state, but I actually tried sitting 3-4 years ago downwards. Like, but I didn't take it seriously. I'm like, okay, this is kind of dumb. I'm not going to do it. But I really started taking it seriously over the past 2 years. So now I meditate every single day. Like Joe Dispenza says, it's the first thing I do in the morning. I wake up at 4:20 because I find that funny. I meditate. I start to feel unlimited. Then I become unlimited. And then from there, I do a little bit of work. Then I hit the gym at around 5. And then my day starts. And I like to close the day with meditation too. So the two things I do at the beginning and end of the day, sometimes I miss it because life is life. But the beginning of the day, I'm really good at it. So I have that meditation. And before my meditation, I have a gratitude journal where I write 5 things I'm grateful for, because I think we know gratitude is the attitude. It's one of the most abundant frequencies. And if you're just thankful for life, then the universe rewards you with abundance. Like I wake up and sometimes, a lot of times it's really just dumb stuff. It's like, I am thankful that I have this cup of water. Not everyone has water. I'm like thankful my arms work. And then I get into that mindset and it's like, and I do this before this podcast. It's a business hack too. Before every business meeting, before every podcast, I'm like, I am grateful that I go on to get on this podcast. And then I go into the, that's why like I started like, cause I was actually grateful to be on it. So like if I'm thinking about it two ways, like if I'm going to podcast at like 3 PM, if I'm like, I don't really want to do this. You'll pick up on it. Your listeners will pick up on it, whether consciously or subconsciously, and it won't do as well. But if I'm grateful, then we'll have a good chat. We'll have fun. We'll probably stay in contact after.
Yep.
And then opportunities arise. And this is actually how the dating app came into fruition, because I was on a crypto tour a while back, like not even a while back, like a year and a half, but in startup land and crypto world, time is different. But I was I was on a crypto tour a while back. I was on this one called the Crypto Economy. It was with this guy named Mark. We connected on the podcast. We stayed in touch after on social media. We were both into spiritual stuff. So that was the universe. That was a frequency just attracting something similar to you. We stayed in contact. And all of a sudden, this random dotting company started following me. I'm like, what is this? So we got on a call. I'm like, I'm thinking about building this. And he's like, do you want to help? I'm like, oh, yeah, I can get users. And then we've just been working on it ever since. Because I'm like, oh, this is funny. First of all, I just thought it was funny. But I thought it was funny and it does some good. And now I'm working on ShopX and dotting simultaneously. which works well with the ADHD. So the ADHD and my personality is like I read books. I have like 5 different books. If I get bored mid chapter, I will close that book for now and just jump to another one. So yeah. With working with 2 different companies, it's like I go around, and especially startups too. It's like I go around different tasks, different call, dev work, engineering, marketing, sales. I like the jumping around.
Yeah.
But I have my start of the day anchor and the morning of the day anchor. So my start of the day anchor is the meditation with the gym, with the sauna. So that gets me, that's my start of the morning or mm-hmm. start of the day anchor. And my end of the day anchor is Muay Thai. So I like Muay Thai because it's a, like if you have a stressful day, there's nothing more less de-stressing than punching a bag.
Yep.
The group of guys and community for Muay Thai for men's mental health. If you're having troubles, I would recommend joining a fighting gym. Not yep. to go pro everything, because everyone there is super kind. Yep. Everyone there is trying to get better. It's one of the best environments you could be in. But the cool thing is it forces you to be present too. So yep. like whenever I start thinking about work, whenever I start thinking about calls, I get distracted and I usually get hit, which I'm like, oh, I don't like that. So then it's like, then I just start getting present. It's like if I'm getting hit, that's all good. If I'm thinking about work, I can't hold the bat. Like I can't even hold the pads right, which is rude to the partner. Mm-hmm. So it forces me to close the day on a present note.
That's fantastic. Do you do that every day?
Monday
5 days a week, 7 days a week, or
I try to go as much as I can. So usually 3-4 days a week during the weekday.
That's amazing. I want to go back to the gratitude thing for a second, because on one of our previous episodes, we talked a little bit about momentum, and it's just the little things sometimes. Like if you've got one of those days where you feel like the world is closing in on you, the little things matter. I think the little things matter more. Then at that point, you know, if you could do just one little thing, like put away a little bit of laundry or put just little teeny tiny things, they can add to more. You know, you write a list of some of the little things you need to do. If you accomplish one or two of them and you start crossing things off that list, it leads to momentum. Gratitude is the exact same thing. I'm going to throw a product out there. We have no affiliation with them whatsoever, except I've used it. It's called the 5-Minute Journal. For me, I understand. I've been talked to so many, you know, coaches and counselors about how important journaling is. I was just never the guy that did it. I love to write on my own, but I never would do it from a regular standpoint, as a routine. And someone said to me, hey, there's something out there called the 5-Minute Journal. And I'm like, all right. And it's a morning and an evening anchor. That's exactly what it is. And it does take 5 minutes. You open it up, name 3 things that you're grateful for, something that makes today great, and then an empowering statement about yourself. That's it. It takes 5 minutes in the morning. At night, 3 things that were good today. And it can be the little things like what you're talking about, like the little, I'm grateful my arms work, like the little things like that. What could I have done better today? And then there's one other question. What do I want to do for tomorrow? So it anchors you for before you go to sleep. And you get into that, and it does. It takes 5 minutes. It's laid out for you. You don't have to do anything other than just answer the questions. But it's called the 5-Minute Journal. I would recommend it to anybody out there. It's the journal for people who can't journal, and it makes a difference on your life. Especially do it for 2 weeks and tell me your life's not different. It will be.
I think I'm in the same boat as you, where it's like a lot of people have told me to journal. I just never got around to just doing it consistently. So me personally, yep. I will buy the 5-Minute Journal just because having that is super helpful. And to your point on Joe Dispenza, like getting the little wins. So if you think in terms of quantum, where it's like the present moment is access to every moment, like in this present moment, there's all the realities that could possibly happen. We're experiencing this one because it's where our attention goes. Yeah. So the journaling, the little wins. So I think, so a cool book I read is called Reality Transurfing by some Russian dude named Vlad. So he's a reality transurfing. Yeah. So yeah. He is a scientist who had a spiritual awakening. So it's essentially, how do I select the reality that best works for me? And it's a step-by-step guide to do that. And those little wins, they put you on a positive timeline. So you can go, like, it's like a positive spiral or a negative spiral. Like, for example, let's say two different, like in the stress zone, 2 different after this podcast, I could go, I could have a drink, I can go on a run. The drink will lead to more negativity because it's a negative aspect, but the going on a run will go to a more positive, like it'll lead to more positive timelines. The more positive timelines lead to more positive timelines, and the more positive timelines, it stacks on top of that.
It multiplies.
Yeah, it's a multiplier. It's a multiplier and compounding effect. So,
yep.
Yeah.
That is a this is the type of stuff that there are so many people out there who just, if they just had a little nudge in that direction, that's really all they need. One of our previous podcasts in season 2, we're in season 2 right now. Season 1 was like 110 episodes. Now we're working on season 2. We talk a lot about aha moments. and how, like, you just nailed it, Eric. How many times have we been told by mentors, by, you know, watch the successful people that we want to emulate, whatever. We see that they journal. But you know, we know we should do it. Like, same with physical exercise, too. We know we should do it, but we don't necessarily have that little aha moment that sets off that light bulb, that sets off that in that actual action to match the intention. We know we should do it, but we don't do it because we haven't had the thing that kicks us over the edge to do it. What are some of the things, what are some of the aha moments that you've had throughout your existence so far?
Yeah, so some of the aha moments, I would say the biggest one, it was realizing, first of all, the meditation, that's something I should have started a while ago. So there was a moment where, so during the meditation retreat, there's very limited things you can do. There's your meditation hall, your room, dining hall, and a walking path. So what I would do is at night, I just kind of lie kind of dirt out, because the full day meditation it's not easy. Like it was actually a very challenging activity. So like, it's not just sitting there. So after the meditation, I was fully dirt out. So I would just lie on like the little chair, and I was in Joshua Tree. I would just stare, and there'd be like hundreds of shooting stars. And at one moment, I was just like, this is the most beautiful thing ever. And then it just kind of stayed with me. So that was cool. Another aha moment I had semi-recently is like, how to be happy? And then I realized, wait a second, my base layer is happiness. My base layer is peace, love, and happiness. So I don't have to go out anywhere to get peace, love, and happiness. It's my base layer. So if I ever want to be happy during the day, all I have to do is calm and relax into it, which is a powerful thing. So like, anything goes wrong, I'm just like, well, if my base layer is happiness, so what do? Just let go and just have a sit, which may lead into a meditation. I would say one of the bigger aha moments for me was just researching the teachings of Hermes Trismegistus. So he's an interesting guy. So if you're into Joe Dispenza, check him out. So he nails all the spiritual stuff. He nails all the stuff that Joe, Eckhart Tolle, and all those guys talk about.
Yeah.
But he did it way back when. So he did it like in the time of Moses. So his teachings, like the Chi Babylon, just like Isaac Newton's all based off of it. All the spiritual practices we have now are based off of it. I think all the religions we have now, like they're all loosely based off of it. So this guy named Hermes, he got everything done. He was one of the first people who mastered all planes. So he mastered the physical, the mental, and the spiritual. Mm-hmm. He eventually became known as the Egyptian god Thoth. So people just started calling him Thoth. So yeah, dude. He's a legend. So just the content download from him has just been exponentially good. And the biggest thing I got from that is the inner world reflects the outer world. So I'm like, okay, how do I change my inner world? I just fix my inner world, and I just do that on a daily basis.
We haven't talked about presence for a long time, but you mentioned Eckhart Tolle. The power of now. That was an aha moment for me. The power of now is like,
For me, that was actually one of the first spiritual books I read after, like, because I was like one of the mentors he recommended, like, he's like, read this. I don't want to read this. I was into CEO books and self-help books at that time. I was like, no, I don't want to read this. For me, it was A New Earth. So right after A New Earth, I'm like, what is the next book I can read from this guy that it was Power of Now? Like, both of them are fantastic. So like, A New Earth for me was like the biggest, from there, it's like, once you start your spiritual awakening, you can't stop it. So that was kind of what set it off, where it's like, all right, we're going down this path. And then from there, the content started revealing itself. So obviously I got some Eckhart Tolle content. I got some Joe Dispenza content. Obviously I went a little hard on him. And then from Joe, it goes to other people, which Hermes would be the latest one I got into.
The neuroplasticity part, you know, combining, the thing I love about Joe is how he's able to reconcile the spiritual with the biological in such a way that, and then dilute it from a simplicity standpoint to the point where it's accessible. And that's the thing that I love. You know, you talk about, I love how he talks about how a personality is formed, and how, you know, sometimes when a kid at school, like I've got a granddaughter who is just my world. She's my everything. She's in kindergarten right now. And I think about her all of the time, because I think about Joe Dispenza talking about how if you decide one day you're a kindergarten kid and you decide one day that you're going to be shy, you saw somebody else doing it, you saw it on TV, you saw whatever, someone said, oh, I'm shy. And you said, oh, I'm going to be shy today, because it's a mood that you're in, or because it's something that you just decide to do. It can turn into a personality trait that goes your whole life, just because you decided that one day back in when you were 5 years old to do it, it can evolve and turn itself into your entire personality. And talking about the neuroplasticity, about how we can actually change who we are just through that repetition and intention, consciously, because then it will download into the subconscious and things like that. I was fascinated by that, and it's so cool. I don't know if you have any kids in your life, but I love listening and watching Joe, and then watching my little granddaughter develop and watch these things actually happening real time. It's super cool.
That's awesome. Like, you're lighting up when you're talking about your granddaughter. She sounds...
Oh, she's my everything.
Yeah, she sounds like she's a little princess.
Well, I'll tell you this. Here's how the power now came into my life. My granddaughter, when she was 18 months old, now, like, you got to understand, like, she has slept over at our house at least one night a week since she was 2 weeks old. Like she's my everything. And by the way, she's at, she trains 2 days a week at Tushido MMA here in Kelowna. Rory McDonald came out of that gym. Sarah Cheesecake Morris came out of that gym.
But they also have her. Great habit.
Absolutely. And you should see, I'll send you a couple of videos of her rolling, like, dominating a seven-year-old. It's unbelievable watching her roll. So she's great now. But when she was 18 months old, on Christmas Eve of 2019, we discovered she had a tumor the size of my fist behind her tailbone. Suddenly, on Boxing – we have Boxing Day up here in Canada. So Christmas happens. Boxing Day, we're off to Vancouver to BC Children's Hospital. We thought they were going to remove a cyst. New Year's Eve, they did the surgery. Pathology comes back. Long story short, it's cancerous. We're there for 5 months, and we didn't come home. Candy and I stayed down there the whole time with her, because she's our everything, and we're staying down there. I don't care if our whole life falls apart. You know, he changed it. It was in its very, very, very early stages at that point. It's like, okay, well, whatever. This is the important thing in life. And as you can imagine, some of the highest highs, you know, where the things are going to be okay, and the lowest lows of are everything going to be okay, and everything in between. And that's when I got the power of now. I got the power of now. We're in a foreign city. We went and did a Costco run. We were staying at Airbnbs. And I looked, and power of now was there. I'm like, oh, I've always wanted to read it. I knew I needed to get around to something. And it's kind of the only personal development-ish book that's here in Costco right now. I'm grabbing it. And I did it the way you're supposed to read it. I read it till you got to the symbol, and then you paused. And I would allow myself, sometimes it was only like a 15 or 20 minute pause, because I needed to eat this book. I needed to inhale it.
Consume.
I had to, but I did. I highly recommend anybody who does read it, take the pauses when you're supposed to take the pauses. Let your subconscious do its thing.
It's hard to take those pauses though. Like, especially the first time, because like you're like, oh, pause, no, I don't. Because I did the pause on the second run through, because I'm like, I should probably actually do it right. But the first run through, I'm just like, nah.
Of course, it's so tempting not to, right? It's like M&Ms. You can't just eat one. It's so powerful. When I got to the part where you can separate yourself from yourself, when you realize, okay, so my hand is not me. All right, fine. It's my hand, right? But then you realize my mind is not me. It's a tool that does this and this and this and this, just like your hand is a tool that does this and this and this and this. And it has a couple exercises where it says, here, I'll prove it to you. And you separate yourself from your mind, and you realize your mind, which sends you down these paths of these repetitive thoughts like you've talked about or whatever, you could separate yourself from that. And boy, oh boy, what a superpower that is. And I've never learned that before. It was the power of now that taught me that. And I will forever be grateful for that. You know, I'm from Kelowna. Eckhart's in Vancouver a lot of the time. I want to run into him. Yeah. I want to run into him one day. And hopefully, if that ever happens, I want to thank him, as millions of others have done the same thing, for kind of freeing me from realizing that I am not my mind. I think that if I were to throw out the trap, if there's a trap that so many, especially guys, are in, that's it. That's it right there. They can't separate themselves out from maybe their identity. If they're a provider in the home, if they're somebody, you know, their identity as to this is what I do for a living. I am this, I am that. And they build who their identity is around, you know, what they do for a living, maybe what they have. Potentially that's what that is. And the power of now freed me from all of that. So I appreciate, you know, you've given me a little bit of chance to talk about Eckhart there, because he got me through that with my granddaughter. He got me through that 5 months.
And that's just the universe presenting you with the right piece of information at the right time. And yep. because, not to say, obviously, I would not wish what happened to your granddaughter on anything, but because she had that, she's doing well, she's crushing it. You picked up the power of now. I think it probably put you on a more positive life path, which now you can give to more people. You can support your granddaughter better. And she's, and it's positive somehow. We don't know how, but the universe just always has our back.
100%. No. And it's crazy. Watching her level of empathy. It's she's one of the most empathetic 5-year-olds. Like, she's really special, and I'm not just saying that because you know that's how grandparents are supposed to feel. You're hardwired into it. If you have a grandkid, you're gonna feel that way, and I understand that. But no. There's something about her that is just, she's different. She's special. There's something there, and part of it is the level of empathy she has is through the roof. When she was going through that, she'd be hooked up to a chemo peg, and she would hear a kid crying across, you know, the ward or whatever, and she'd go, "Oh, baby," like she would want to go and comfort that child at that children's hospital. And she's still like that in the gym, at the MMA gym. I mean, obviously, you know, it's kids, you know, 5 to 8-year-olds, you know, jiu-jitsu and wrestling and striking and all that. There's some crying that happens.
Yes. Oh, yeah, I never thought about that, but probably.
Yeah, and it's fine. They're teaching them how to get up again, right? Teaching them how to deal with that stuff. But when a kid, something happens, she will stop sparring and she will go over and say, "Are you okay?" And it's, I'm positive that at least some of that empathy has come from when she was 18 months. She was there from when she was 18 months to essentially right before she was 2. I know some of that empathy came from that. And I'm certain that you, you know, being grateful in the grind, the startup grind, startup life, the pacing of it. I understand what you're talking about. A lot of people just don't understand the schedule of that. The adversities that we go through lead us to truths, to good things, especially if we allow the universe to do it and open it up to. What are some of the adversities that you have faced that have led to where you are now and who you are now?
Yes, the first point about Emily, I'm glad she's empathetic. She got that gift. It's honestly, in the startup world too, that's probably the most important skill, being empathetic, because you have to be empathetic towards your customers. You have to be empathetic towards your team members. Like, for example, in startups, no one's getting paid. Like, for a while, it's like, when's the next paycheck coming in? So you have to be empathetic. You can't just, like, in corporate America, I've seen so many people just, like, go drill sergeant mode, where you're just like, do this, because you're on a payroll with a startup. That's not gonna fly. So you have
volunteer
to
volunteer army.
Yeah, like everyone has to become like a servant leader type of thing, where you have to empathize. And I've learned this so many times, just dealing with sales and dev completely differently, where like you'd have to be like, okay, sales new feature, plus kind of new feature, blah blah blah, and then we'd hit up dev and be like, what is this? Can we do this? And you have to speak to dev in a certain way. Like, I've learned that when they're in the coding mind. Just let them code, because you bring them out of the coding mind, it's go out of the hole, they have to restart the whole process.
Yeah. So I get you a new set of earphones? Here you go.
Yeah.
How can I help?
Yeah. Being empathetic is one of the bigger lessons, and the whole positive mindset, that really helps too. Because in startup world, most of the time nothing is ever working despite what people say. So like you try nine things, it's like, okay, great. 9 things don't work. Well, I know now 9 things that aren't going to work. I'm close to the solution that happens. Okay, I find the 10th one, it starts working. It's like, amazing. 3 days later, it stops working. It's like, well, I know this was working for a bit. So it helps you be adaptable. And I would say anti-fragile is the more appropriate word. So anti-fragility is essentially whatever doesn't kill you makes you stronger. So
yep.
This error, we found a critical bug, but now we fix that bug. Now our software is stronger. So you just scale that over and over again. The networking effect, learning how to network is pretty valuable too, in the sense you just have to be, and to network, you just do, it's not hard. You just be friendly, just come in with like no expectation, just have a conversation. That generally does well too. But yeah,
expectation's huge.
Yeah.
Like coming in there with no expectation whatsoever, except to, like, again, part of it is the journey, not the destination, right?
Yeah.
The journey of getting to know somebody, not having an expectation of someone. And I have seen in my life, when someone has come to me with intention and expectation,
yeah,
and I know how I feel. You're when saying, my hey. Limited radar goes off and I realize that, oh, nobody likes to be used. Nobody wants to be, you know, the expectation thing, coming in with no expectation whatsoever. It's like a beautiful little journey.
Yeah. No, because it's hard to be in the present moment if you expect something, because then at that point you're not talking with someone to listen to them. You're talking about it for waiting for whatever you have to say. But like the biggest lesson I learned in the startup, and I think this applies to you, mm-hmm. is don't accept money from the wrong capital, because it's a partnership type of thing. And if you accept money from the wrong capital, there can be tension. So for example, in our case, the VCs, they wanted us to go in a different direction than what we wanted to do. And it would result in saying, okay, well, you have to hit these KPIs because these are the KPIs we want. If you hit these KPIs, we'll introduce you to the rest of the VC network. And then that eventually caused tension at the startup, and eventually it didn't work out as well because of that. So the way I look at an investor is more of just like a person to lean on, where it's like it's an idea board where you can use, hopefully it's someone who's been there, done that, where you can ask ideas, ask like, what would you do? What do you think? But in the end, it's your cert to fall on.
Okay. So yeah, I mean, we haven't talked anything. Like we literally just had a meeting. It's funny. I'm stumbling over my words a little bit, because right now we're at the precipice of potentially accepting the first investment, potentially. Yeah. But there's been a couple that have come along where we have said no for that exact reason. And boy, is that hard, because 5 years without her making a salary, and this, you know, they say a boat is a money pit. Nah, startup in your basement, that's a money pit. Yeah, that's it right there, man. Let me tell you, as you know, and up to this point, there's been a couple opportunities, and he changed it. Candy and her team literally want to change the world. They literally want to make the world a better place. And one of the potential suitors back was somebody who, at the end of the day, bottom line was everything. And if one of the giant social media companies were to come along and see what was going on here and buy it just so they could shelve it and buy it at a great price just so they could shelve it, this person was like, of course we do, because that's what we do. That's what we're supposed to do, right? If we 20 exit, 30 exit, of course that's what we're going to do. And Candy and her team, no, we want to change the world. We need men are in trouble here. We need to find a solution for that. Boy, it can sure seem like a lifeboat, but it could be a lifeboat that's going to go over a waterfall. And people need to hear that. And I'm really grateful that you brought that up here, because there might be guys out there that are kind of feeling the same sort of angel devil on their shoulders, wondering what they should do. And the angel's always the better way to go.
No, dude, it's definitely an important lesson. Cause yeah, like you said, it's can be so tempting too, when you're just like, well, I kind of want money. It's been years. And then you take it and then it just goes downhill. But yeah, again, like everything, it's a relationship. It's a partnership. Just going to be partners with the right person and it'll work out.
That's just it. I want to go back to the meditation retreat here for a second, because I have, as you can tell, like, I mean, I'm a podcast host, and I host another podcast as well. And I love it. This is my flow. This is my kind of everything. But I have heard about, like, Jim Carrey, who has a similar disposition, can talk and talk and talk and talk and talk, has gone on silent retreats. And I've listened to him and listened to some of his experiences with that and others as well. So in this 10-day deal, how much of that 10 days were you silent?
The full 10 days. I spoke once to ask an instructor a question on how to properly meditate, or what she would do. So other than that, I was completely silent. So, and it's 10 full days. So the day you get there doesn't count. The day you leave doesn't count.
Okay.
So it's 10 full days, complete noble silence, no writing. You're not even supposed to look at people. And the reason they do this is it's a completely introspective experience. So let's say after this podcast, we both meditate for 30 minutes or something. Right after these 30 minutes, we'll probably reconnect to the world. We'll go online, we'll check our texts, we'll speak with someone, we'll do anything and reconnect. But the full 10 days, because you're in such noble silence, that train of meditation thought, it doesn't end. So it's a full, because what is it? It's a full body operation on your traumas. So you have to be completely focused. You have to be dedicated for the full time.
Yeah. How did you feel? Well, who was the first person you talked to? Was it somebody there? Is that the first person you talked to? Did you wait till you got home? Did you how did reintegrating yourself into non-silence, how was that for you?
It was actually pretty easy. So the first people we talked to is after the meditation retreat, everyone who goes to the retreat, they just have, like, we have like a dinner type of thing.
Oh, nice. So, okay. Yeah. All right.
So like, and that was the happiest I've ever seen a group of the best intentions I've ever seen from any group of people was right after the meditation. It was all hugs, all love, all happiness. So that was the happiest I've ever felt as a group of people, just because everyone went through this experience. We're just like, what was it like for you? What was it like for you? Everyone was like, we did something tough. We're better for it. And then we dispersed ways. Reintegration was honestly, dude, it was really easy for me. It's like, okay. I went home. I drove home that night. It was a trippy car ride. I just had it's like a switch, like a mind shift, where now I just had a more positive mindset. And then that just gets imbued into my work now. So it was when reintegrating wasn't tough. Like the very next day, I had like a phone call, like per usual. But I left with a gift of a spiritual practice that I'll practice for the rest of my life. And they got my dad to go, which is pretty sweet.
Your dad went?
Yeah, I got them to go after. So he's completely brand new. So he just kind of went.
Whoa.
Yeah, dude.
Well, what a cool bonding experience that is.
And the meditation retreat, I love the format too, because it's so there's centers all over the world. The main one's in center. I just went to Joshua Tree because it was the closest experience for me.
Yep.
It just happened to be in a sacred land too, where it was the peace land for the Indians. So whenever they had their wars, there's no fighting there. There's probably a spiritual reason for that. So I thought I saw a bunch of ghosts and stuff, but that's a whole other story.
Yeah. Well, hopefully one you'll come back on here and tell one day. Like that's fascinating to me. That was one of the first questions I asked. It was did location matter?
Yeah.
Because that's a very, I mean, there's some people that, I mean, I don't know. I don't know anything about this stuff. I just know what some people say. They say it's a vortex or there's something about that area that
there's something
sacred energy to it. Yeah. And I'm just,
there's something about it.
Yeah. Wow. That's such a neat experience. I know I spend time in the tank. Sometimes I go to the sensory deprivation tank. All right. And I know what it's like if I'm in there for like, I'll do 90 minutes. Sometimes I'll do 3 hours and I love it so much. And like you said, the trip, the car ride after is trippy. It's a fantastic description of, yes, absolutely. That's 3 hours in a tank, 10 days. Super cool. When was that? In relation to right now, was it like within the last couple of weeks?
September. So,
oh, was it September? Okay,
late September, early October. Yeah.
Wow.
I've always really wanted to try the sensory deprivation thing too. So I may try. I'll try just because. Same with the Vipassana thing. It's like after the first person I ignored, I was like, I can't do 10 days. What are you talking about? I can't just take off.
Yeah.
But after the third person who told me about it, I was like, all right, I just signed up. I started doing it. Same with the sensory deprivation take. You're the third person to mention it. And so now I'm gonna do it within a week. You good?
You're gonna feel home. You're gonna feel like you're home. It's absolutely. Oh yeah. No. You're gonna absolutely. It's gonna be perfect for you. It's gonna feel like perfection, harmony for you. I can tell that already. I love the tank, and I, you know, even talking about it right now, it's like, oh. I need to spend some time in the tank.
Same time.
Yeah, I went through a really crazy couple of weeks up here in Canada. The first up until the end of February, there's a financial thing. You guys have IRAs down in the States. We have something called RRSPs. The first 2 months of the year, you can contribute to your RSP, and it'll go towards last year's numbers. So in the financial business, the last 2 weeks of February are busy. So I had a really busy 2 weeks. And then I've done 8 or 9 podcasts in the last 2 weeks as well, which is like that powered me up for those 2 weeks. But now even just mentioning that I hadn't thought about the tank, but just mentioning it right now, I'm just like, I'm ready. Oh, I need to go back. And for those out there who haven't thought about meditation, for those who haven't discovered the gift of gratitude, that's how it feels on the other side of it. When you find the thing that you click with, whatever it is, you realize that it improves your life. Just like if you've connected with health and exercise before, if you've known how good it feels to have a great workout routine, whatever it is, and then you let it slip for a while, but then you can remember how it feels. Imagine how it would be if you had a practice in your life where you could remember back and go, oh yeah, if I just go and spend 90 minutes in the tank, I know I'm going to be a better man in every single respect that I am right now. Meditation is obviously the same for you, Eric. And I'm really grateful that when did you learn how to be vulnerable? Did you, when you were coming up and grinding it out, in a very competitive world, in a very money motivated world, all of that, did you learn vulnerability right away? Or was that something that you learned along the way as well?
That was funny. Now that you mention it, like I didn't even know I learned it. I guess it just kind of happened.
Just you're just been authentic and open and vulnerable.
Like, for me, the key is authenticity. I'm gonna be authentic wherever I am, and it's due to positive results. And it's I also like authentic people, so like attracts like. But yeah, I've never looked at it as vulnerability, but yeah, I guess it is.
You're such an interesting dude. If people want to follow you, where's the best way to find you, Eric?
So if you're interested in ShopX, Web3 e-commerce, the best place would be shopx.co. If you're interested in AI-powered matchmaking, it'd be data.ing.io. But if you want to get to know me personally, just want to have a chat or have questions about meditation or pretty much anything, check out my Instagram, Eric D. McHugh, ericdmchugh.
Time gets what I love to say when we're doing these things is time gets slippery. Like an hour has gone by already, just like that, with you. And so we're gonna do a tie down. You got to come back because I do want to ask about the NFT thing. We haven't talked about NFTs at all on HeCast yet with all of our 130 episodes that we've shot or whatever they are. I'm super curious to talk to you about that. We're gonna talk about that the next time. But I just want to say thank you very, very much for taking time out of your day to come on HeCast today. Thank you so much for being a light in the world. I appreciate that so much. And I can't wait to collaborate. If there's ways that we can collaborate in the future, I cannot wait to do it. Thank you so much, Eric.
No, and honestly, dude, thank you so much for having me. Like, we'll have an open line of communication. If there's anything I can do to support He Changed It or just you personally, let's keep that open. And I'm here to help.
Okay. And I know I say it almost every episode. This is why we do the show. This is why we do the show. It's to have these amazing conversations and to share, one of our previous episodes, we talked about iron sharpening iron and these conversations. That's exactly what happens. The iron clashes against the iron and both pieces of metal are left better for it. But in that process, the sparks that fly out and those sparks that fly out are meant to ignite things in our viewers and listeners. They're meant to ignite decisions that need to be made, truths that need to be accepted, whatever that is. If you want to grind it harder, grind it harder. If you want to change your life, change your life. You can. That's what He Changed It is all about. Listen, go to HeChangedIt.com to check everything out, obviously. Whatever your technological persuasion is, whether it's Apple or Android, the app is free right now. It is fantastic. And boy, you ain't seen nothing yet. The roadmap is really cool for this app here. So go to HeChangedIt.com, check things out. This has been another episode of HeCast, the official podcast of He Changed It. My name is Mike Chisholm. Go change something.